And happy Halloween, everybody. And hopefully this panel is a treat. It's not a trick. So I have no relationships to disclose. One of the things I would really like to talk about is, before I specifically go over to the NCDs in the U.S., that this is the second time in the history of the General Assembly in the 65 years that the United Nations addressed the issue of non-communicable diseases, and they convened a special session last September in New York. And the first was in 2000 about HIV/AIDS. So just to tell you, the world is waking up, even though it might be a little late, to the impact of non-communicable diseases. And, you know, we all like to talk about dollars and cents, and according to reports, 70% of deaths are can be linked to non-communicable diseases, and as my friend Elvira just spoke, that they're really preventable, and contrary to what many people think, they are reversible to a great extent. And this adds really millions of dollars, billions of dollars to the U.S. economy. And the biggest contributors are the cardiovascular disease, cancers, chronic respiratory disease, diabetes, and also mental illness. Because a lot of people don't even focus about mental illness because it's taboo, even in many industrial countries such as ours. So according to a survey conducted by the NCD Alliance, which is made up of all global partners, that these diseases are currently responsible for 63%. It's not 6%, not 3%, but 63%. So more than half the deaths of the world can be attributed to non-communicable diseases or chronic diseases. And a whopping 87% of deaths in the U.S., that's more than 4 out of 5, making NCDs the leading cause of death in the U.S. So this is really the impact of it. It's much greater than Sandy. So, you know, it's many Sandys and for a prolonged period of time. So some of the reasons are, what are attributed to the NCDs are low socioeconomic status, lack of education on health style modification. And you were thinking about the salt, and I'm thinking about the sugar. You know, people, I've just seen, like, people pour sugar or Splenda, you know, I'm not promoting one brand over the other. The name just came to my mind. But it's like we are, the portions we serve also are so heavy. They're so rich, and they're so full of calories. You go to a public health breakfast, guess what you have? Muffins. Why don't you serve fruit? So I'm just telling you, we need to start making these modifications at home. So the learning, these are the learning objectives of my presentation. This is what I hope to achieve in the next couple of minutes. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, these are NCDs, I really like that. They say that they're not caused by acute infection, but because of major behavioral risk factors. That's tobacco usage, alcohol abuse, lack of physical exercise, unhealthy dietary habits. And unfortunately, it's not an acute infection, but it's becoming an acute behavior. It's so hard to change these behaviors. And they cause a lot of long-term harm, and they're multi-systemic. It's a multi-systemic involvement. And it's not only one person, it's the whole community. For example, I live in New York, and we have near Bronx, near Hunts Point, which is right next to the concourse, the Grand Concourse, we have an exceedingly high incidence of childhood asthma, and that's because of pollution. So that's a chronic contributor, because respiratory illnesses are one of the major chronic diseases we have in the world. And so this is what I'm trying to tell you. It's just that it's also the lifestyles, it's where you live and what you do and how you eat. Because as we all know, that we are defined by the food we eat. And they are, this is the scary part, the last bullet I have here, they're increasing in prevalence among younger age groups. Because what is called, I have a pediatric friend of mine, Warren, he goes like, Minnie, these kids have trigger fingers. I said, what is a trigger finger, Warren? He goes like, the only thing they're doing is changing the channel or playing, texting, Skyping, you know, Facebook, Twittering, and eating popcorn. So that's why this is really increasing among the younger people, and it's really scary. Now, when you go to a movie, when you ask for a small popcorn, how big is the small?
Huge.
It's And then when they say, like, you want butter, it's like whatever that gooey stuff, they're just like squirting it down like you would squirt water or something on your lawn. And according to the World Health Organization, this is one of the latest reports released in 2011, the U.S. is increasingly weighted down by an obesity epidemic, a largely inactive population. 43% is the sedentary rate in the U.S. This is so scary. And a 16% smoking rate, and we have a markedly rising blood pressure and glucose levels. And a lot of this can be attributed to the younger population. So, and according to Dr. Tom Frieden, who gave his video lecture in the opening session, who's the director of the CDC, he says there's almost 1,000 deaths a day, every day of the year in the U.S. because of hypertension. And the direct cost of high blood pressure is almost $131 billion. So imagine if we could use just a fraction of that 131 into prevention and early detection, how much money and how we would be saving the productivity of the people. And more alarming data. This is the scary part. 36 million people have uncontrolled high blood pressure. That means it is a lot of times undetected. And 22 million know they have high blood pressure but don't have it under control. So some of the reasons they don't have it under control are maybe they don't get proper medication, they're in denial, or they do not change their lifestyle, and also the stress. We can blame some to Sandy too now. 14 million are unaware that they have high blood pressure, so this is like really, really, really scary. And this is in the U.S. So you can imagine if this is in the U.S., what it is in the world. So what are some of the preventative strategies if we look at it from a public health viewpoint? Stress management, easier to say, but we all need to take that walk, stop smoking, exercise, regular intake of medications. This is really important. You can't say, oh, I took it for 2 days and I just don't feel like taking it for the next 10 days. I'm fine. I'm going to the gym. But if you really need, your hypertension needs to be controlled by the use of medications prescribed by your healthcare professional, we all have to take it. And this is DASH. It's not that we want you to dash out of the room before we finish talking, but this is the dietary approaches to stop hypertension. This is being followed more and more by saying that by having low sodium, high fiber eating plan, it helps to control hypertension. So DASH is what, and the source is from the American Heart Association, DASH is what is being used nowadays for educating the public. So globalization and NCDs, just to talk about one of the reasons, and which is the reason I said globalization, because we're really so global in the U.S. Availability of low-cost, high-calorie fast food, we're all packing in. And then the high salt content, which exceeds in most countries what the WHO recommends. And soaring high costs and lack of fresh available foods. I don't know how many of you have visited New York, but we have the bodegas in New York which serve, maybe it's delicious food, but it's full of calories. And it's so hard to get fresh food which fits into your pocket, because everything organic is also expensive. And you really don't know how organic is organic unless you grow it. So, the other causes are, which the director of the WHO, Margaret Chan, said, is that growing evidence that economic growth in an interdependent world creates an entry point for the rise of diseases, because we are talking about marketing. I mean, look at that. Look at the way McDonald's spends millions, or Wendy's, or any of these. They're just so attractive to the younger people. And even you, when you're at the end of the day, you go like, I can grab a pizza. It could be DiGiorno's. It could be a pizzeria from your local pizza. It's so tempting to eat these fast foods because your hunger goes off and then you're tired. So you just want to eat something and get into bed. So I'm just telling you, so this economic growth, according to Dr. Chan, is an entry point. So I think that's some food for our thought. And look at this. 48% of Americans drink 2.6 glasses of soda a day. That's scary. This is even scarier. And this movie is really interesting. And they're not paying me to talk about it. But it talks about the fast food nation, which is based on a bestseller. And they just say that how we've become as a nation so dependent on fast food and the size. And one of the things, you know, when my daughter was younger, they all went from school to Europe, and she said they were always hungry. All their money they spent on food. Why? Because the portions in Europe are so small. And these kids are used to shoveling big portions of food. So they were forever hungry. You know, that's another thing. It's like you're used to this big portions. I remember, like, my cousin's kid came and we took her out, and she was telling my husband, it's like, I can't eat this. It's too much for me. I'll pack it and take it to the dorm. And I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah, this kid has just come from India, and she's not used to eating a pizza slice, which is bigger than maybe a whole pizza she can eat in India. So, I mean, these are some of the things we should be aware of, the portions we have. And look at this. Is no one spared? I mean, this baby is reaching out for these burgers. It's just an illustration that bad food habits start when you're young. And do you remember that that kid in Indonesia who started smoking when he was 2 years old? It went viral over YouTube. So just to say that all these behaviors start. And again, the Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity, they have a very interesting data, if anybody's interested. And they said that 2/3 of Americans are overweight and obese. And there is a new law which takes effect next year, and McDonald's is making a head start, like it already has started, and that it's going to start listing calorie information on menus. It's already been done and started in many places. And now in New York, the Board of Health has voted to ban the serving of sugary drinks in containers bigger than 16 ounces. And there's this whole soda tax debate going on in New York. And Kellogg's and General Mills have reduced the sugar content in breakfast cereals. So just to tell you, these are some of the things which the private sector is jumping into the bandwagon to, you know, help out. And one of the things which is being done in New York City, this is before Sandy, okay? Now you won't even find these carts. So we have the green carts all over the city where local farmers are subsidized to give fresh food, and people buy them. That during a lunch, you can go buy something. So this is pretty popular. And then this is a big ad now, like, are you pouring on the pounds to discourage people from having bottled drinks? So these are really eye-catching. And we have the smoking ban in restaurants and even parks. And the insurance companies are paying incentives. They pick up your gym tab, certain insurance companies. So, and then this is something in the Broome County Health Department. Now, the Broome County in New York State is one of the most diverse because we have people from 60 countries who have settled there. It's like one of the designated refugee resettlement counties. And they have this healthy 8-week community-based program called BC Walks, that is the Broome County Walks, and it's been so successful and has really shown good results among the 40 to 65-year-olds, and it's being replicated. So, in conclusion, I just would like to say that it's not only an individual who suffers, but it's the whole community. And I think, I hate to say it, the kids nowadays don't indulge in as much as physical activity they're supposed to, because one, a lot of the PT hours are cut in school, and if they live in unsafe neighborhoods and you have bullets zinging, you can't go for a walk because you might not come back. You might come back in a bag. I mean, without, it's not Halloween, I'm to be flippant about it, but this is a big threat. And the other thing is, it requires all sectors to take part, like the health, the finance, foreign affairs, education, agriculture, planning, and others. So this is something we really need to wake up to. And again, it's a major public health problem. And I really think what the WHO said, that the greatest impact is achieved by creating healthy public policies like we are trying to push for, that promote NCD prevention and control, because it also focuses not only on primary, secondary, but also tertiary prevention. So I think NCD prevention is really, really important. And these are my references, and I think I'm on time. And thank you, everybody. Safe travels. Yeah.